This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And good evening to you for Wednesday, June 5th, 2013. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Doug. Glad to be here tonight.
Yes, and of course we have Dr. John Hightower manning the phones for us tonight. So if you would like to be part of the show, you're welcome to call in with a question or comment. The number is there on your screen. The number is, got to get it up here, 714-459-3973. And of course you can ask questions in the chat room, make comments and so forth. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. And in addition to this weekly radio program, we also have the Metaphysics Institute and NewAgeClass.com, where you can take courses and get your degree in metaphysics. For more information on those, visit MetaphysicsInstitute.org or NewAgeClass.com. Now, before we get into our topic tonight, we want to do our regular profession of beliefs. The spiritual philosophy of MCHS Church is based upon 9 principles of belief. These principles of belief are, number 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. Number 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5. Rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number 6. We believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. Number 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these 3 synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. Number 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. And number 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on these principles of belief as well as MCHS Church, please visit mchschurch.org. And that is our discussion or profession of beliefs tonight. We are talking about growing past racism and prejudice, and we're going to talk about some ways that racism or prejudice might express itself in us or through us, and how to recognize these instances and kind of grow past them. The idea is to be more tolerant and have a more peaceful coexistence around the world. A little bit later in the program, toward the end, we'll do a 5-minute meditation that will reinforce these concepts in us. When we really think about it, tonight's program topic is really about principle of belief number 4. That is, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. That is the One Planet Accord.
You know, this is a hard topic, Doug, and it's a hard topic because people are afraid of it. It is, and if you're not afraid of it, it's not a hard topic to discuss. If we're afraid of owning things in ourselves we don't know about, it's a hard topic, you know. And because we're all, number one, hear me clear, we're all prejudiced. We all have some measure of opinions of other people and things. And I'm the first to raise my hand to say that anything that oppresses women, I have a prejudice. Does it affect my ability to deal with people one-on-one, even though they might be of a particular religion and culture? No, because I'm able then to take the individual. I'm able to sit with the individual, provided that there's not one or the other trying to convince anybody of anything they shouldn't. Like, as long as you don't try to put that stuff on me, we're good. Mm-hmm. You know, and I won't put my stuff on you, and we're good. So on so many levels, we're prejudiced. And I think this is the most important thing to recognize, then to get into, you know, various other things like bigotries and racism. But I think we all need to take that first step of ownership that we are prejudiced. It's just recognizing where we are prejudiced.
Yeah, and sometimes that's not always apparent. We may not think we're prejudiced, and yet we may have some ways of saying things that would argue otherwise. And it's not so much, I mean, this is a tricky topic, like you said. It's like, when I look at myself and I think, you know, my prejudice, and I'm talking about racism and all that, I've never been a racist. I've never been prejudiced against other ethnic groups or those with a different heritage. I hesitate to use racist because I believe we're all one race, the human race. So I don't use the term racist to describe different ethnic groups or ethnicities. Can't even say that. So, but there have been times when I've said things really due to ignorance more than anything else. And once it becomes apparent, oh, okay, you can't say that, you know. I mean, I remember, this is just one example, years ago, this is back, gosh, probably 13, 14 years ago, and I was writing, I was just coming out of the religion, you know, the cult, and it was a religion that did not condone homosexuality, and I was coming out of that and trying to, you know, kind of going through my existential crisis and trying to figure out who the heck I was and what the heck the world was and all that. And so I was writing, and there was another fellow who'd come out of the same religion, and he was gay. And so, you know, I was making a very innocent remark when I was writing about lifestyle choices. You know, I have no problem with those who choose a different lifestyle. And I was referring to being gay. Well, he got all peeved at me, and I, you know, it was innocent. It was ignorant, but it was innocent. I didn't mean anything. I was trying to say, gee, I've changed, you know, whereas I used to believe, you know, what the Bible taught about that. You know, I no longer believe that. I'm much more tolerant. I mean, you know, I'm trying to open up here. And, you know, he corrected me. So then I began to realize and look more deeply into it. And of course, now I understand it's not about a choice. It's about who you are. And that's what he was trying to say, but he got kind of pissy with me, and you know, and there you have it.
What a perfect example, though, because in your heart you're one thing, mm-hmm. and in the mind is another, but in our language and delivery is quite another thing again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's to synchronize those things, and sometimes in our evolution we're playing catch-up. There's mm-hmm. a wonderful video going around Facebook. I'm sure it's on YouTube and everywhere else, but a wonderful video about going around interviewing people about, you know, their prejudices, particularly about sexuality, homosexuality, and you know, people saying, well, yes, well, I guess it's their choice. And the very last question of this, you know, few seconds of interview, they say, well, when did you choose to be straight?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa,
yeah.
You know, and that, then suddenly every single individual who was interviewed tipped their heads, you know, like the lost puppy look. And, well, I never thought of it. And so this is a perfect way to catch ourselves in little prejudices that we don't know we have, from our mentality to our language, is if the shoe fits the other way. You know, so if what you think is one way, it has to fit another way. And if it doesn't, then we got to get caught up in our heart to our minds to our mouth.
Yeah, you know, I used to have a mother-in-law that when she would refer to black folks, she would call them colored, and she was not racist. So, you know, she had none of that in her, but she was raised, honestly, in a very small town and at a time when that was kind of the going expression. And whenever she would say that, I was kind of appalled at her age, you know, and I'd say, well, what color were they? You know, I'd call her on it, and she finally started stopped using that expression, but she didn't mean anything by it. It was ignorance. And that's what we have to try to detect, if there is any of that ignorance or lack of awareness in ourselves, you know, to get rid of that and to try to, you know, is it politically correct, or is it political correctness? I suppose it is, but we also want to go with expressions that are neutral or that don't capitalize on the differences in us, so to speak. We're all people. We're all human beings, you know. It doesn't matter whether you're gay or, quote, straight. And I hate that term now. I don't like to use it. Because if one's straight, then that implies the other one's crooked, right? So I don't use straight. I find it offensive myself.
Language, see? Language.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're gay, you're not. You know, you're female, you're male, you're one color or another, you know, you've got one ethnicity or another, but we're all still human. We all still came from the same place, and there's two things that I want to use here, express as a foundation for this topic. Number one, we all came from star material. We all came from the same place. It's not like the white race, you know, came from some special place, and everybody else came from somewhere else. That's not it at all. You know, and yet you would think these white people, these white power type people, these white supremacists think that somehow that's special. It's neither special or not special. It just is. It's what everybody is. We all came from the same place. So you cannot discriminate. It goes beyond physical, the laws of you know, physics. We're all from the same thing. Another principle that must be remembered with all this stuff is the law of control. The law of control simply states that we cannot control anyone other than ourselves. So when we get upset with somebody, we're really trying to control them. When we get exasperated, stressed out because of somebody, we're really trying to control them in a way. So we got to remember that everybody has the same right to be here. They have the same rights to the good things in life, no more, no less than anyone else. And it is a crime against humanity. It is a betrayal of themselves and humanity to be racist.
You know, many years ago, back in the 80s, Doug, I had taken a contract job to work in an office, temporary, feeding my kids. And the fellow came in, he's a draftsman, taking a contract position, and he was indeed a white supremacist Aryan. Now, I have a mixed family myself, but he's entitled to his opinion, and I wanted to know more about that way of thinking without imposing my own defense mechanism. And, you know, this is a good man who is married, has a family, getting through his life, but he has very specific beliefs that really believes anybody who's not white is inferior. And, you know, he's got this whole plan laid out for the population of the world in the future. And so I'd worked next to him for a couple of months, and, you know, he's trying to educate me a little bit here and there, and I'm tolerant, and I nod my head, and I smile, and how are you today? And then finally I took out pictures of my family one day, and the look on his face, he just, it fell off. Now, you see, I'd been very accepting of him, who he is, getting to know about his family, who he is as an individual. I didn't pass judgment on him. And I could see it right there, looking at me. And, oh, well, I guess things happen, don't they? And I went, oh, now, okay, he is imposing, he is judgmental. And it's turning his, because he liked me, you see? And he could not kind of correlate his liking of me to his prejudices that were now infiltrating his thinking of me. Now, it did turn around. He decided not to like me, or he decided to take pity on me, is more what it was.
Very kind of him.
Yes. So finally there was enough, and he started to, as he felt more comfortable in the office, he started spreading his stuff. So I reported him, and he was removed. But it's because he stepped over a line.
Yep.
And this is really important for us to, first of all, we have to be tolerant of everybody, no matter how badly they behave, except when they go too far. And then we have to stand up, and we have to speak on our own behalf and behalf of others. If we see it happening in a situation that's not ours, we do step up to the plate and say, that's not acceptable behavior. In a mixed family, there's all kinds of prejudice. There's reverse prejudice. There's all kinds of situations that we come up with, and I don't think those people even know that they have prejudices, you know? So it's how deeply does it run, and how far do we have to go? First of all, it goes within the individual. We have to check in with ourselves. We have to check in with ourselves when we know we're speaking in contradictions. That's really important. And the next, to be able to follow through with what we say we believe we are. In other words, if I am truly saying I'm tolerant, I'm accepting, you know, and I believe in humanity, then I have to follow through with that. I know you follow through with that, Doug. So mm-hmm. I'm not speaking to you. I'm just saying, generally speaking to other people, if you're in a situation and you suddenly feel your own red flags coming up, acknowledge them. And remember to go through your heart to your mind and formulate your language carefully. And this is where we need to have a dialogue to be able to say to somebody, that's not quite the right way to say it. Yeah, this is a big one. I'm not prejudiced against black people. I have lots of friends who are black people. That is a prejudice statement. Because they shouldn't have to acknowledge it at all.
Right.
That's the point.
So how would a person express that then?
There's no need to. You do what you just did earlier, to say we're all people, and the fact that we even acknowledge that somebody is of a particular race or culture, it's not relevant.
Mm-hmm.
See, when it's relevant, it has a prejudice. There's a wall. So if I'm in a discussion and people are talking about different races and such, I go where you just did, Doug, and say, hey, who cares? I look more at how somebody has been raised in the culture. So the color doesn't matter. It's the culture. So if there is a culture, and what I mean by that is there are certain cultures that are male dominant. I take issue.
Right.
And if that's a group, and the individuals as well as the group are male dominant, then I do have a prejudice about that. And basically it's a wall, it's a flag in my head. But I should not also kind of connect a dot to, oh, all those people of that particular color or that particular region of the planet equals this kind of culture. And this is where we need education. Because there's certain things, the education is that there's many, many tribes in Africa and in the Middle East that perform female circumcision. Holy. You know your expression, Doug, sends me where you can't get a postcard?
Mm-hmm.
I have a prejudice against these particular acts within those cultures.
So therefore, all prejudices are not bad.
true. I totally believe that, but I have to be careful that I don't suddenly mark all the people who live in Africa and all the people who live in the Middle East, because we're uneducated. The minute we hear something bad and we can associate it to a culture, it forms a prejudice, and it's a blanket prejudice, and this is our error. And this is where we're not getting along very well.
Well, let's talk more about where do you draw the line? You know, when is a prejudice not a good prejudice? And let's relate it back to the law of control. You know, you cannot control anyone other than yourself. Well, what about when somebody's behavior is affecting us? What if somebody's trying to mug us? What if somebody's trying to bully us? You know, at what point do we step up? Because, you know, if you take the law of control at face value and strictly, you don't try to control anyone else. So that would mean that whatever they're doing, you don't try to control it. Well, that's not healthy either. You know, we're not pacifists here. You know, it's just not the way it is. If somebody's behavior or conduct is causing harm, then that's the time that we speak up, that we step up, you know, and we obviously...
That's where you do the right thing.
Yes.
And we have to be of conscience to, you know, that's where I love what you've done, Doug, to put do no harm, do right.
Right. So, you know, I've on this very radio program, we've talked about religion. We've talked about how most religions denigrate the individual. We've talked about some of their unhealthy belief systems, you know, and I've really tried to not be mean about it, tried to not be unfair about it. I've tried to also bring out some of the good things that they do. But when religion and these belief systems teach people things that are harmful, such as belief in an imaginary friend in the sky, that is a codependent relationship. It's harmful. It's not healthy. You know, when they teach that you're a sinner, that a person is a sinner, that's just doing harm. You're basically making somebody else feel bad about themselves, and they're not stepping up to say no more of this. You know, sometimes they do. But when they teach these things that are not healthy, yeah, I'm going to say something. It's not that I expect religion to change. I don't expect it to change in my lifetime. But you know what? I hope that I can, my words will fall on the ears of somebody who's ready to hear it. Somebody who's ready to hear that you don't need to live that way. Somebody who's ready to hear that I'm not a sinner. I'm not to be denigrated. I'm a beautiful creature, perfect in just the way I am, trying to get better every day. I hope that those words will encourage someone and help them to come out of those unhealthy belief systems. So I'm going to say something. You know, when an organization, an institution, or a person is doing harm, you know, and there's plenty of them doing that. You know, if you look around the net, racism is, you know, it's out there. Now, you know, I'm white.
Silence gives permission, is what you're saying too.
Well, it does. Well, but we're not always in a position to speak up, nor should we always. You know, it's a judgment call. There are times when we should speak up and say something. There are times when it's not our stuff. You know, we can't be the savior of the world individually. You know, we're not that savior type. We can help people within our sphere of influence. If somebody's being bullied, we can assist. You know, but there's also a lesson in it for them. We have to be careful not to, how do we put this, to remove the opportunity for somebody to learn a life lesson that they need to learn. And when you're being picked on by bullies, there's some lessons to learn. You got to learn self-acceptance, self-esteem. You got to learn to stand up on your own two feet. You need to learn that most 99.9% of bullies are cowards and will back off. You know, those are lessons that a person needs to learn. And so we got to be careful that we don't do things for other people that they could and should do for themselves. Now, that's a little nugget that's worth potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars to people. Don't do things for people that they should and could do for themselves.
Doug, I'm going to beat up the bully. Sorry.
Well, that's fine. You know, and you probably won't have to, because when you stand your ground, they back down.
That's true.
That just a side point for bullies. they're looking for a return on investment, a high return on investment. They'll take one look at a person to determine whether they can get away with anything. If they deem that they can get away with it, they're going to pick on them. If that person stands up for themselves, they're going to go on to an easier target. That's just the way bullies work.
Very
so,
true.
Anyway.
One of the, probably I think the only good piece of advice my father ever gave me, is said, if you're walking down the street and you ever feel afraid, look them straight in the eye. Whoever's coming for you, look them straight in the eye. They'll never lay hand on you because it scares them. It's true. I've done it. Scares them. Scares them more than I'm scared. So it works. But, you know, you're absolutely true. That I have a thought, Doug, and I'm open for discussion on this one. But I believe religion is at the root of racism.
Yep. Well, it can be, and it's at the root of a lot of stuff. I have no love for religion, you know, and I really, really hold back a lot on this program from saying what I really think. What I'm trying to do is not so much criticize religion as provide a better alternative. And honestly, MCHS Church, Nine Principles of Belief, in my opinion, there is no better alternative. There is no healthier belief system, spiritual philosophy out there. I don't care what religion is. I don't care how many adherents they have. There is nothing healthier than this, because it brings it all back to the person. It empowers people. It empowers the human spirit. It builds people up. It does not erroneously tell them that they need to go to some mythical person in the sky for salvation. It does not tell people that they have to, you know, to give 10% of their income or to be, quote, self-sacrificing, unquote, and martyrs. You know, of course, we're all self-sacrificing, but we don't have to be martyrs for no good reason. It teaches people to get along. It teaches tolerance and acceptance. You know, there is nothing more healthy than the nine principles of belief. That there just isn't. You know, nothing I've seen.
And we're not competing for who's worthy today of God's attention.
That's right.
and even though, and I'll say this, even though something like Christianity has infiltrated to cover many races, it's been painstakingly done. But even within the groups, within the subcultures, there's a measure of competition. And this is what fires up or fuels people to, somebody else has to be inferior so somebody can be superior.
Yep.
And any time there is that kind of measure, you are going to have prejudice, bigotry, and racism.
Well,
and absolutely, that's why I'm saying, I think, this is just my opinion, you know, I think that the root of racism, you know, the racism really stems from people competing for who's God or Allah, you know, or whomever else is, yeah, and, you know, it's like all the guys on the football team. It's like, who's God, you know, whose side is God going to be on in this trip?
Well, if you think about it, your comment does have merit. You know, religion does promote racism or prejudice, because every religion thinks that they are the chosen religion, that they're God's favored religion. When I was a witness, Jehovah's Witness, you know, we were God's chosen people. You know, in other words, we're it, you're not, type of thing. And that's not unique to Jehovah's Witnesses. It's everybody. You know, every religion thinks that they're God's chosen religion. And so if they are, and you're not part of the religion, you're out. So there is prejudice right there. Plus, there's so many accounts. Look at, I mean, it's no secret that the Mormons have not had a real good, you know, concept of Native of African Americans, of mm-hmm. blacks. You know, they were the cursed race, according to them. You know, I'm sure they're trying to do some damage control on that, and it's kind of eased up a little bit. But you know, who knows? I don't know where they stand on it now, and that's only half of it. I don't care to go find out. Let's talk about religion though in the news. You know, the latest news, and I know Vicki, you're up on this, is the Boy Scouts.
Oh, huge. Well, and I think it's spreading. The Boy Scouts of America decided that it would no longer impose a prejudice about boys being gay. which you see the surprise that there even was such a stipulation that you had to be straight to get in. See, that's sometimes I'm a little naive. So they decided that, you know, they're not going to hold this rule anymore. Everybody is welcome. Well, now churches have stepped up to the plate and said that, well, you can't use our church for your meeting anymore because we have to stand by our rules and what you are doing is wrong. So, like, this is, you know, it is so blatantly prejudiced on so many levels, and it examples again how a particular group believed that their God or their understanding of their God's rules has an exclusivity, and it forms a club. And, you know, if you're not of the same mindset as my club, then you can't come here. And it's, you know, this time, Doug, I just shake my head. I really do. Because I can't believe it got to that point, but I have to believe it so that we can help to change it. But good for the Boy Scouts. I think that, it, you know, it's about time they got with the 21st century. And I don't even think, I don't even like that word tolerance, because when you have to, when you say you're tolerant of something, it implies that you were intolerant or have an intolerance. You know, so it's just, why do we think about it at all? That's my point. Who cares? So, but obviously some people care, and it goes back to religion. So, you know, it's people competing again, and shame on any religious organization for not allowing all children of the earth to get care, which is food, shelter, and whatever else people
need. Medical care.
Absolutely. The minute you say, well, oh, well, I'll tolerate you, but I'm only going to give you one bowl of soup because you don't believe what we do. You know, it's these conditions, you know, well, again, it just, it's ridiculous. But mm-hmm. That this is the kind of discussion that needs to be in the open and for us not to be afraid of these things. To me, it's really simple. The minute you have a belief system or a way of thinking that separates, then you have a prejudice. Then you have to take those next steps to decide, is this a healthy prejudice or not? Because I believe that the prejudices that I have are healthy in that it helps me to draw a line in what I believe is good and not good behavior. And I would say the same thing about alcoholics. I don't care if people drink, but drunks are not allowed in my house. Same thing. You know, yeah, it is yeah. The same thing. So we have to draw our boundaries and our rules, what you were saying earlier. And I think this is where the church for these kids and the Boy Scouts of America, who are doing wonderful things with kids, have gone too far.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really top of the news lately.
You know, it's discrimination, of course. It's prejudice, and it's all
crap. It's just crap. Doug.
Well, it is, but it's all sanctioned by the Bible and outdated mythical writings. So, you know, it's unfortunate, but hopefully, you know, we've covered some points here, and hopefully, you've had an idea. Those listening have had an idea or two what they can do to further expand their awareness on prejudice, on racism. You know, it's so absolutely, I don't even know how to put it. When somebody so hates a race or an ethnicity because of its color, and they're the same, we're all the same, you know? So what? It's like, you know, you go to a car lot and they only have one model of car, but they're different colors. They all have the same features, same accessories, and yet they're different colors. And you say, oh, you know, I'm going to hate all those black cars, or I'm going to hate all those red cars or the yellow cars, you know, because they're just not as good as the white cars, or vice versa, because there is, you know, there is the vice versa going on. It's not just white discriminating against others. It's everybody, everybody discriminating against everybody. So it's stupid. It's ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous. So,
you know, I would just like to make one mention. I know we're running out of time here, but I would like to make mention of the Idle No More movement on behalf of red nations across all of North and South America who have been nearly exterminated and are now in their spirit of the people is rising in a good way, I might add, looking for ways to save the planet, looking for ways not only to save the people, but to save, you know, the land from further devastation. And this is not just North America. This is South America, too, the Amazon, places that are being decimated. It is the indigenous people who are stepping up to the plate now to say, will everybody please wake up? Put your prejudices aside, put your belief systems aside, and look at where we live. We're on one planet. And it ties it in, Doug, to what we've been talking about here. I completely support the Idle No More movement and the people who are behind this, who are doing this in a good way. There is no harm to anybody. It's just some people, the powers that be, don't like it. So this is just begun, everybody. So I sit back and I do what I can, little educational pieces here and there. And this is my moment just to say, I am behind you. I can't speak on behalf of the church here, but in the principle of it, the church stands behind you too.
Good points. That kind of brings us to our 5-minute meditation. So take this next few minutes, this next 5 minutes, it's not very long, and find yourself in a comfortable place, wherever you're at. Just shift around, get comfortable. Find a spot straight across from you. Focus on it. Take a deep breath in through your nose. Hold on to it for a moment. And slowly release it through your mouth. Just breathe for a moment and just feel your body settle just a little bit. Continue to focus on that point. Another deep breath in through your nose, holding on to it for a moment and releasing it slowly through your mouth. Allow your eyes to close gently. And just focus now on the waves and the music and my voice. I want you to imagine a beautiful light above your head. It's your soul light. It's your higher self. It's brilliant. It's just radiating light and light beams all out everywhere, connecting to everything in the universe. It's your essence. I want you to visualize it, see it. Right there, just above your crown, always with you. It is you. And I want you to see it. And I want you to will it to move down into the middle of your chest and your heart and just fill your body up with beautiful, nurturing, soothing light. The very light of your essence. See it filling your body up, reaching, growing, expanding to your arms, your fingers, your legs, your feet, your neck, your head, your entire body glowing. And see it moving down past your feet, right into the earth because you're grounded. It grounds you. It encourages you. It nurtures you. Just breathe it in. It feels so good to just breathe, to feel that rhythm of your breathing, and to know that you are perfect just the way you are. As long as you aspire to be better tomorrow than you were yesterday, you are perfect in the only way a human being can be perfect. You are perfectly you. There is no one quite like you anywhere in the universe, let alone on this planet. You are unique, and you have your gifts, your talents, your abilities that are just yours. Just yours, unique and individual. And you as an individual are entitled to all the good things in life, the same as anyone else, no more, no less. And when you look out and you see different people. You see a humanity that has potential beyond belief. You see the indomitable power of the human spirit. You see how we are able to overcome anything and everything, including prejudice, racism, intolerance. We are able to see the beauty in humanity because it is there. It is everywhere if you just look for it. It matters not the color of the skin, the color of the hair, or anything else. We are all one race on one planet with one ancestry, one destiny. We are the stuff of stars, literally connected to the universe. We are all people. We all have goodness within us, and we all have the potential to bring about great things in life, to our life and to the lives of others. Therefore, we insist on doing no harm and doing right. And we let these principles permeate throughout us, throughout our lives, throughout our hearts, down into our very soul. Now, as you ponder these, make an agreement with yourself to treat everyone with kindness, with goodwill, and be an encouragement. Just let these concepts permeate throughout your entire being. Take another deep breath of that beautiful radiant light and allow that beautiful soul light to resume its position above your head, always there for you if you ever want it. You just take it. Deep breath, open your eyes, feeling upbuilt, encouraged, and positive, knowing that we have an incredible spirit within us. We can do anything we want. We just go after it. Welcome back. Hopefully that
left you
just a little bit lifted, a little bit lightened, lightened your load just a little.
Well, and next week, everybody, I'll be here to do some readings. So if anybody, just make sure you give your birthday, phone in, write it in the chat. I'd be happy to take a peek. Let's see what's going on.
Yes, and of course we'd like to announce that that Dan Jablonski, doctoral candidate at IMHS, is going to be taking over our social media coordinator position. So he'll be a staff member at MCHS Church. He'll be responsible for our Facebook account and our new Twitter account. Once we have the Twitter going, you'll be able to get tweets every day or so on upbuilding and inspirational quotes and so forth. Talk about that.
Welcome aboard, Dan. We're looking forward to this. Very excited.
Yeah, we are. So be on the lookout for that. What else? Thanks to Dr. John Hightower for being there with us and helping behind the scenes. Trying to think of anything we've missed here. Have we missed anything?
I think we've got it covered. Good show, good topic, you know, and just be self-awake, everybody. Just, you know, self-aware. Look at ourselves. Just, you know, little corrections, and we all got things to work on.
And visit us at mchschurch.org and at metaphysicsinstitute.org and newageclass.com if you'd like to earn your degree or take some courses. It's one of the ways that you can support MCHS Church to get this message out. Tell other people about the radio program if you like what you're hearing. Tell them about the church, about the school. And we're trying to make a difference in this world, just like so many people are. And we work together and we make a huge collective difference. So be part of that. Till next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night.